Welcome to week three of What Is Next. As we get started this morning, I don't know if you've ever heard of this book, but there's a book written by Rick Warren called The Purpose-Driven Life. And in it, he begins with this statement. Very first thing he says in the book, it's not about you. And when you're reading it for the first time, you're like, wow, right off the top, it's not about you. When's the last time you heard that statement? We don't. We don't hear that statement. In fact, I'm going to tell you that what makes this message so hard to hear is that we hear the opposite message all the time. All the time. We're told constantly it's about me. We're told constantly to put ourselves first. We're told all the time. And yet here, Rick Warren says, you know what God says? It's not about you. It's not about you. And if you'll look in the comment section this morning, we have the first three chapters that you can have of The Purpose-Driven Life. And because you need a place where you're going to hear this message, it's not about you. Listen to what Solomon says. A life devoted to things. He could have said a life devoted to self is a dead life, a stump. But a God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. And that's what we want to go and what we want to talk about this morning. This whole idea of what we are devoting our lives to, and we know that by what's getting produced and coming out of our lives. So let's recap for a moment, if we could, where we've been in this in our series, What's Next? Week one was, remember, we're building at the bottom of a wadi. And you can go back and you listen to any of these if you've missed them. We were building at the bottom of a wadi. And when you build at the bottom of a wadi, when the rains come and the floods rage through, look out. Jesus says build on the rock, and that's by listening to him and doing what he says. And we've admitted there are times, and this crisis revealed it, that we've been building at the bottom of a wadi. Last week was all about this, these three pictures that Paul gives us in Colossians, to be rooted, to be built up, to be firm. And perhaps this time has reminded us that I'm kind of shallow. What happened? My roots don't go down very deep. I'm not progressing very far in my walk with Christ. I am not firm in the salvation that he has given to me. And so that's where we've been. And today we're going to wrap up with this idea of fruit. Fruit. Now, as we get started, let me ask you this question. Who's the fruit made for? Who is this made for? The apple tree that produced this and it picked was picked from, was it made for the benefit of the tree or for the benefit of somebody else? It's something I don't know if we've considered before. I don't know if I've thought about this before, that fruit is primarily made for the benefit of somebody else. And this reminds me of this passage that I ran into around the time of Palm Sunday. And it's a passage that is right after the triumphal entry, and it's almost confusing. And perhaps you read it and didn't have any idea what it meant, and you kind of skipped over it. I've been there before, okay? And you just kind of blew past it because you're like, I have no idea what it means. But I want you to see this because I think this helps us understand this very idea, that fruit was made for the benefit and the blessing of others, not ourselves. So look at this from Matthew chapter 21. Now, early in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. This is Jesus. Jesus was hungry. Okay? Early in the morning, heading to the city, right? You're thinking he didn't stop, right? He didn't stop at a Starbucks, right? He didn't stop somewhere and get something. No. He didn't get an Egg McMuffin. No. Right? He was hungry. After noticing a fig tree by the road, he went to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. So if this is an apple tree, he goes to the tree, and there's not a single one. There's not a single one. The leaves are there, which means it should be producing fruits, okay? It's not like it's winter. It's not like the tree's dormant, right? It should be producing fruit. It looks like a tree that's healthy. It's growing. Leaves are there, and it should have been producing fruits. But nothing was found on it except leaves. So the tree looked beautiful, except it had no fruit. It had no fruit. It had the one thing that Jesus was looking for in it. Now, look what happens. He said to it, "Never again will there be fruit from you." And the fig tree withered at once. Mark said all the way down to the root, it just died. And when the disciples saw it, they were amazed. Of course, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, if you were standing there watching a tree that should have had fruit and didn't have fruit, and Jesus speaks to it and it just starts dying all the way to the roots and it just like falls over? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? It would be amazing to see. Of course they were amazed by it. Now, what's amazing is this simple story, and Jesus then goes on to talk to his disciples about prayer. But this story, if you would try to look it up and read about it and say what a book called a commentary would say on it, everybody talks about all these hidden meanings and the fig tree is really Israel and it's all these different things. Sometimes I think we make scripture too complicated. I really do. Sometimes we make it too hard. And, oh, there's got to be a hidden meaning. What if Jesus just went to a tree, it didn't bear fruits, and he spoke to it that way in front of his disciples so they would be amazed and it would remind them, my life is created to bear something that's going to be a blessing and a benefit to somebody else. So in other words, what the creator who needed the fruits found no fruits. The creator, Jesus, he walks into our time. Creator God walks into our time. As John says, he became flesh and he walked among us. He lived among us. He dwelt among us. Ultimately goes to the cross to pay the price for our sins and rises again in 3 days. That the creator who needed the fruit was hungry, went to a tree that should have gave him fruit, and it gave him none. It gave him none. In fact, I want you to see, this is the way it was in the beginning. This is Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow from the soil. All kinds. Every tree that was pleasing to look at and good for food. That's the way the fig tree was created. It was created to bear fruit. But when the creator shows up, it doesn't bear that fruit. And so this led me to ask a question. And it's not an easy question, but it's a question we ought to think about. Is our life producing fruit which benefits the people around us? Is it really doing that? Is my life producing fruit that benefits the people around me? And again, I so believe that these times reveal things. They don't make things happen, they reveal things. And perhaps they revealed, we're not doing a very good job at producing fruit that's a benefit and a blessing to somebody else. And I didn't necessarily like the answer I was getting from asking this question. But I kept thinking, what is my life producing? Okay, now I want to take you to what Jesus said to his disciples. This comes after the whole fig tree incident. And so I got to think, are they thinking about that? Are they thinking about the fig tree that just falls over when John records that Jesus got his disciples together and said this to them? I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He takes away every branch that does not bear, and there's our word, fruits. So Jesus says, you got to understand, I'm the vine, my Father is the gardener, okay? He's looking for fruits. And every branch that doesn't bear fruit in me, okay, anything in me that's not producing something that's a benefit or a blessing to somebody else, what does he want to do? He wants to take that away. He wants to cut that out of our lives. Because he says, do you know what that's doing? That's not helping you, and that's not being fruit to the people around you. And God's like, come on. I want to take that out of your life. I want to help you get rid of that because it's not helping you and it's not helping anybody else around you. And so he wants to take those things away. So often the things that we argue with God about are the things he's saying, would you just give that to me? Because if you would give that to me, I want to take it away because it's not helping you and it's not helping the people around you. But he continues. He prunes every branch that bears fruit so that it will bear more fruits. Okay? He's looking for every branch that is doing it, and he's going to do whatever he can to make this go better. He wants better fruits out of us. He wants more fruits. He wants it to produce more fruit. That's what he wants for our lives. So sometimes then there's pruning, there's pushing back, and we're like, yeah, but I thought I was producing fruit in that area. Yeah, but I have something better for you. This is God saying, I have something better for you if you would trust me, because I want you to bear even more fruit than you did before. He continues, you are clean already because of the word I've spoken to you. And then he says what? Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. Do you think they were thinking about that fig tree that knocked over? I think they were. And what if they're looking at this now and saying, oh, the only way this happens is if I follow Jesus. The only way my life becomes a benefit and a blessing to somebody else, the people around me, the people I care about, is that I connect with Jesus, I follow Jesus, and this is the result of a life following Jesus. In Christ is the only way my life can bear fruit. The only way it can bear fruit, to be a blessing and a benefit to others. It's the only way it can bear fruit. In fact, let me take a passage that you've read before and give it a little different meaning this morning. There's a tendency when we look at the fruit of the Spirit to ask questions, and maybe not the right ones based on everything we learned this morning. So look at this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay? These are all the things that the Spirit produces out of our lives. This is the fruit that should come out of our lives. Paul names it for us. He goes, you want to know what that is? You ever wondered what kind of fruit ought to get produced out of your lives? It's this. This is the type of fruit that should get produced in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But I don't know about you, but I've been asking the wrong question when it comes to this. And I'm going to help you understand that. We often ask, and I'm going to say I often ask, are these things in my life? Now, what do I mean by that? Are these things, this love, joy, peace, patience, are these things in my life? Do I have a life that's filled with joy? Do I have a life that's filled with love? Do I have a life that is peaceful? Am I a patient person? Because we tend to think the fruit that's coming out of our lives should help me. Is it being produced in me? What if we asked a different question? Instead of, are these things in my life? Are these things coming out of my life? Are these things coming out of my life? Which, can I just ask you to do something this morning? Might be a little uncomfortable, but if you're with somebody watching this morning, you know how you answer this question? You turn to the person next to you and say, are any of those things coming out of my life? And what if we found being in quarantine together? We're not bearing the fruit we thought we were bearing. Our lives are not bringing peace and joy. Right? Everybody's like, no, I need to get rid of you. Why is that? Why is it not producing the fruit that Jesus told us we should be producing in our lives? So now let me make this really practical. And let me connect this to what is next for our church, what I'm going to call our next step, because everybody's trying to figure this out now. Now that we've done this church at home and we've transitioned, and now for our sake in the state of Iowa, the governor has lifted that restriction, and now we have decisions to make. Well, I think this is a huge piece that we would understand that I don't make this decision based on what I want to do. Right? I don't want to do that. That's what I'm tended to do. And that's what you might think a lot of people do. Well, I want us to have church in person. We're just going to do it. Right? Or I don't want to, so I'm not going to. Right? But that's not how we're supposed to be making decisions. What gives the right fruit to somebody else? So let me help you understand this very practical thing we're trying to figure out in terms of fruits. And here's what I believe. When we can offer the best for those who can come, and when we can offer the best for those who can't come, okay, what we want is we want to gather together and be a blessing to others. Well, we got to figure out how to make that happen. And just to, you know, rush around and make it happen because a restriction was lifted is not thinking, how are we going to be a blessing and a benefit for those who come? Okay, how are we going to do the things that, you know, is being asked of us to do in creating social distancing and doing some of the cleaning guidelines they want? We got to make it the best for those who can come. Why? Because we want it to be a blessing and a benefit. That's what we want everything to be. How can this be a blessing and benefit if I'm not thinking that this needs to be the best for those who can come? But then on top of that, this needs to be the best for those who can't come. Some of you, and you know, I've been praying for you, and we've prayed for you on Thursday nights. Some of you are in situations where medically, because you have some of those underlying conditions, because of your age and vulnerability, you don't need to be in large group settings. You need to stay away from those for longer until things get further under control. And so we can't just go ahead and say, well, I'm sorry, you can't be here. We're going to just go on and do what we want. No, how can we make this the best for those who can come and for the best for those who can't come? These are the questions we're answering. This is what we're trying to do as a church, because we need to make it the best for both so that we're a blessing and a benefit to those around us. Because we don't want to do things because of we just want to do them. We want to do things that are a blessing and a benefit to those who can come and for those who can't come. Our lives were created for more than just ourselves. That's what I want you to know this morning. Your life was created for more than just yourself. And I know you're not hearing that message anywhere else. But Jesus looks at you and says, your life was created for more than just yourself. You were created to bear fruit. And to bear fruit that's a blessing and a benefit to those around you. So as we kind of wrap up today, here's what I want to end with. Do you know what happens? In Christ, we can bear fruit that blesses and benefits those around us. I can't do that by myself. I need to be implanted. I need to be following Jesus in order to produce that kind of fruit. Because apart from him, no, I'm producing the wrong kind of fruit. The fruit that's not blessing and not benefiting other people. The fruit that's actually hurting myself and others. And so following Jesus helps us to do that. So as we wrap up this morning, let me just say two things. First, for those of you not following Jesus, your life has probably been made mostly about yourself, because that's what we do. That's our default function as humans. We follow and we put ourselves first. And everybody else around you has told you that's the way to live. But following Jesus changes that. And we would love to help you learn what it is to follow Jesus. And on any of those, on any of our platforms this morning, you can ask for someone to pray for you. You can ask for more information. You can go to our website to Next Steps, and you can find a great piece called Fresh Steps with God. It'll help you to know, okay, where's my next step? You could take those three chapters of the purpose-driven life and you could learn more as well. But we want to pray with you. We want to help you to give your life to Jesus, to follow Jesus, and start living a life that benefits and blesses the people around you. So if you're not following Jesus, we'd love to invite you today to start your journey of following Jesus. If you are, then I would just ask, what has this time revealed for you? This quarantine life, what's it revealed to you? Because I have to be honest, there's not a lot of this, is there? Somehow, this revealed to us that we weren't much of a benefit and a blessing to the people around us. Perhaps we've driven them crazy. Perhaps it's shown us how selfish maybe we really are. But here's what I want to invite us to do. Followers of Jesus, okay, tune in for a moment. Lean in here. The reason we don't produce fruit is because we're not in Christ. It's so simple. We're just not in Christ. We've just drifted. We've just drifted. And it just comes to getting back to following Jesus and doing what he says and getting connected to him and living a life that bears fruit, that benefits and blesses others. So as I pray for us this morning, two things. If you haven't started following Jesus, we'd love for you to pray with us and start following Jesus. And the second thing for those of you, would you just ask God to show you what your life is producing? And this week, to connect more with Jesus and see your life bear fruit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us this morning? This is a moment to be honest, to ask, are we bearing fruit, or are we living lives that are very selfish, that are only for the benefit of ourselves? And what's happened is we're hurting ourselves and the people around us that we love the most. We don't want to do that anymore. So help us. So help us get reconnected to you. Find the areas of our life where we've drifted away. The places that you want to cut away because there's no fruit being produced. The places where we think we're doing okay, but you have something better for us. Help us to remain in you this week, to be planted in you, and to see what you might do because of that. Father, I pray for those who are considering following you, that they would know that you love them, that you died in their place, you rose again for their salvation. And you want to save them and redeem them and help them to live a life that is better. And it's better for the people around them because it produces fruit. So thank you, Jesus. Help us today to put our lives back into you so that we can produce fruit that blesses and benefits others. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. Next week, we have something really special for Mother's Day that we're working on. And so tune in, join us, comment, let us know how you're doing. Let us know how we can pray for you. And tune in for Mother's Day because we have something special to share with you then.